call to order the workshop, and our first order of business is the invocation. So if you could all please stand, and we'll take a moment of silence to ask for guidance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, the next order of business is roll call, and I believe we're all here except for the mayor. And 105 on our agenda is citizen input. Is there anybody that would like to speak? Come forward and state your name and address.
Name's Jared Pineda, 849 East Manitoba, Washington. I live in one of the district homes owned by East Columbia Irrigation District. The concern is with ride season, it happens every year. We ditch riders take our trucks out, and we have certain tools in the back of our pickups that end up being weapons. I spoke to the chief about it, and what we would like is to be able to park our vehicles, our work trucks, in front, but there is a law or ordinance that nothing can be parked there between the hours of 2 and 5 a.m. We've had things taken out of our pickups. I can explain to the chief. They're called weed fork pullers. They look like big old spears. They got hooks on them, and we've caught guys down the street with them before. Obviously, we know that there's a problem in the alley between Cabanas and the apartment buildings, and we just have a lot of traffic. You know, I can name a bunch of times where we had to call, and an instance, I'd hate to have to see that piece of equipment out of any of our trucks end up causing harm to somebody else or somebody's property. So we were asking to see if it was possible to be able to take that ordinance off of Main Street, at least in the section that belongs to the irrigation district. Because if I'm correct, I think that the irrigation district does own the two city blocks. This is me coming forward. It is not the district. I took this upon myself because we have had problems. We've had people walk away with things. And like I said, the last thing I want to do is have one of my tools be used as a weapon.
wait.
Do we have a clarification on the ordinance, please? Can Phil, you or Heather speak to that?
Our ordinance has a limit between 2 and 5 on certain streets. And that was set up, I believe, for snow plowing and for street sweeping. So the issue comes down to is if, it, I mean, obviously, when they're needing, or this gentleman's needing to park, it wouldn't be snow removal.
Yes.
It would be street sweeping if we are sweeping between 2 and 5. But what I can't do is I can't say just ignore the law. So this would take council action if we are going to change the parking.
Well, okay. And Terry, we don't generally sweep the streets that late at night.
That ordinance was changed.
But I believe that back in the minutes, the council, they changed part of that only to be during winter months.
Right, it was.
It was changed.
Okay.
But I know exactly where you're coming from, because my boy lived on the inland.
Yes, sir.
And they take boat motors, everything. It's been stolen back there.
I talked to the chief. We've had a number of times where we've actually found bags of drugs. I've literally had to chase a guy down, hold him at gunpoint till a police officer showed up. I mean, that we asked for extra patrol all the time. Luckily, I she knows, I got two big old German Shepherd or labs out in the back to kind of let you know when somebody's there. But it's not a very nice place to be or whatever. The district has put up signs and no trespassing signs. That way their police are able to stop anybody at any time that they see anybody here, because it is private property. I think it falls under the, it's a federal, I think what it is the district actually owns the two blocks. But like I told the chief a couple of weeks ago, there's, and I don't seem to want to call anybody out, but there was a gentleman that walks the streets late at night, and he kind of looks like he's out of there, and he had my weed fork puller, and the last thing I want to know is that thing is literally a spear. I mean, we use it to jab forks and pull weeds and all kinds of stuff, and last thing I want to see is see that. And so if it isn't, I mean, I'd be even willing to work on a schedule. I know there's a couple of us that park, and the only reason we want to park in the front is that way people are watching our pickups a little more often. You know, it's out hopefully in plain sight where, you know, it's more visible. You guys have done great. There's a new light that's a lot brighter. We're just wanting to make sure we can do everything we can so we don't have stuff taken out.
You don't think being parked in the front and people walking on the sidewalk, they're going to be tempted to reach in there and
So this the one that I'm more afraid of, it's 8 foot. You're going to see somebody walking down the street with it, you know. And the truck being parked further back or in the alley, somebody can just take off straight off the alley. This way there's a little bit more. This way there's a little bit more visual. Hopefully they'd be a little bit more afraid because it is out in front. Mm-hmm. It probably won't deter them, Angel, but it'd be at least a peace of mind that it's out there where somebody can actually see it, than in the back where, you know, we've had so much trouble before. And not to say anything, it just seems like it's starting to, you hear the, I hear the dogs barking a lot more. Summer months, more people are coming out, staying out later. And it's just, you know, we would have, as far as Terry, the winter we don't have our pickups, we take them back to the district. So as far as the winter months, we wouldn't have anything up there. It's just these summer months that we're afraid of.
And you guys are at work pretty early.
Yeah, we go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes usually a little earlier than that, and we'd get those. And then, like I said, if you guys didn't want to sweep at that time, and I know the people that live there, we'd be willing to work with you guys. You know, if you guys said, hey, we're going by there on Wednesdays, it'd be one day where we could figure something out. But it just becomes a hassle to have to unload 15 different pieces of equipment that we use on a daily basis, in and out, in and out.
Wade, could we just have staff look into that? Because it sounds like we're pretty sure that ordinance was changed so that they could park in the front.
Yeah, we can do that.
And then let him know.
The only issue we would ask is if we are going to not enforce it during summer, that we actually put signs so that we're not telling people they ignore the signs just during the summer.
Yeah.
But I would not want it to exclude semis, though.
No. Well, could we do something in the ordinance where we have a waiver for the irrigation district houses?
And that's why, because I know I was a hazard.
During those months.
I know I had talked to him before about this issue, and he kind of brought it up. Well, when you get away with it for a little while, then the people down the street will start getting away with it. I don't want to become a hindrance to anybody. I just, like I said, for my own safety and everybody else's, if there's a way, and it could happen, not having to change your guys' laws, but just in the summer months.
It's on the book. It's right here. It's 9.08.30, and it's only during that restriction is only November, December, January, February, and March.
So starting in April.
Right.
And the semis are still not allowed on Main Street anyway.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't be parking on Main Street.
The only legitimate parking for a semi is off street or off road parking. So parking on the street would not be okay other than, you know, along the truck route. Jerry and I discussed this. We'll pull the sign off during the month. It's not going to be enforced, but that'll be good to go.
Okay.
So, let's check here.
Yeah.
You're good to go, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Item two on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And negative or Against? Nay? All right, here. So, it's been approved. Item three is current business. And 3.01 is city parking fees, and that is Wade.
Mayor and Council, just to refresh all our memories, you may remember that several weeks ago, actually this came up more than several weeks ago, Travis entertained a proposal by a gentleman to do a sandwich shop in some buildings on First Street, owned by Catalina. And as he looked at and interpreted our OMCs, he informed the gentleman he would need some off-street parking. Well, that started generating some discussion as far as where would that off-street parking be. And the closest off-street parking is available is across the street where the library parking is. So we started looking at what the fee for that would be. And he came up with a couple of numbers, one of which was $960 a year for the whole building. And so we started a discussion on that. And then Catalina came a few weeks ago and talked to the council about the impact of that. She came and talked to me Friday before last, and we had a more in-depth discussion on those parking fees and what the impact would be on those businesses. And then there's some other information we'll talk about in the minutes you just brought to me that I'm looking at. But so we had a discussion. I asked her how much business was generated in those different storefronts there, and she informed me there was not a lot of business generated to begin with. I think one customer said, well, one of the owners of the business had like three customers in a couple of weeks or something like that back during the slow time, so not a whole lot of income. So while it doesn't sound like a lot of money, any money at all, any expense has an impact on this business. So that generated a question in my mind, at least to bring the council, and that is, you know, our goals for Othello to have as many businesses or not empty storefronts that are occupied as possible. And if that's the case, then the council should consider, you know, perhaps not charging for off-street parking, or we could charge a reduced fee for that. And so I asked Catalina what would be a fair amount, and we talked about, I think, $400 as we looked at for all the buildings per year. And that would cover some of our maintenance costs, and it would not be gifting. And so I was going to bring council a couple of options, which is one would be to, in the interest of generating business, let businesses park there in that lot. And because there's not that much business going on right now, look at it again as we get more development there and seeing if we needed to charge in, at that point for off-street parking, or go with the $400 per year or some other figure. Again, it's up to council. And then Kevin just brought to me to my attention what's in the code, and I'll hand this out to you all to look at. But this is, and I just looked to make sure it was in context. And this is something that Travis did not discuss or look at. But it says every building hereafter erected, moved, or reconstructed or structurally altered shall be provided with permanently maintained parking spaces. Maintain parking spaces is provided in this chapter. And the first part of that, every building hereafter erected, that's after this ordinance was passed. If you look at it, it was passed, looked like in 1995, I think, and amended in 2006. So she just brought to my attention that just tonight, that those buildings were constructed well before that. And so they should be waived. Now, if you look back into the, and I didn't have time to print out all of this, in the rest of the chapter, especially, or look at this statement, that doesn't apply if they're structurally altered. So if some business would come in there and structurally altered, then this would kick in. So that's a little wrinkle that was just thrown in tonight. Okay, okay. Yes, John?
But the whole point of the matter is that we're not demanding that they have off-street parking. We're not demanding that. If you can satisfy all your customers with the street parking that's available in that location, there's no need for you to use the city parking lot. But if there is a need for you to use that, then you should reserve the right by paying some fee to use it.
Well, and that what generated that was the food business that was going to, the sandwich shop, was going to generate X amount of customers, which would then generate the need for parking spaces. And I have not looked in.
I've heard from other people in the community, because this is being talked about a lot out there. I've heard that it's being said that we're forcing you to pay this fee. We're not forcing you to pay this fee at all. If you can satisfy your customers with the street parking you have available, then you don't have to pay anything.
Can I talk for a little bit?
Yes.
Well, the thing is that I know that, and so the bottom line is that I have a guy that came in last week. He wants to rent out the building. So he came to the city hall, and they told him that if we don't settle the fees for the parking spaces, he will not get the licenses. So I, you know, me and my husband, we were saying
only if he wants to use that parking space.
But there's not enough street. Bottom line is there's not enough street parking there for those businesses.
And I think what's triggering it is the types of business that are wanting to come in are going to generate more parking than what.
And they're using it now without that extra business.
Yes, what I want to reiterate.
No, we're not forcing.
On the record is that we're not requiring that you use that parking lot and pay for the use of that parking lot. If you can run your businesses the way you've done for years, using the on-street parking, then you don't have to pay anything.
Okay, so can we state that? Because so my question is, so if, or my option was, if I know that for food vendors it takes or it requires more parkings or spaces. So me and my husband were talking, and we were saying, so if we rent out a space, one of those four spaces, and the tenant wants to do a food vendor place or something that he wants to sell food, then he should pay the $240, you know, yearly parking, because we don't have parking for the food place. But why would we have to pay for the parking?
You don't.
We don't. Okay.
You don't. So we're not forcing you to pay for parking that you don't need or want.
Okay.
So if that business comes in, if that sandwich business comes in, he's drawing in a lot of traffic,
then
he's
going to
have to pay.
Yes. So
if he wants to use that now. If that being said, that person will have so much parking available to them.
Yes.
We'll put up a sign that says parking available for such and such business.
Okay.
Which would be across the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that people could go there and park. They would know that they have parking available to them.
Okay, so can I tell this guy that is interested on the renting the building, that if he comes in tomorrow to put in his application for a food vendor, or he has to go to the Adams County Health Department and all that, he needs to pay the $240. So
we haven't agreed upon that. Yes. We haven't agreed upon the price yet, but we're still. Wade's got an offer in for $400.
No, that was for the whole building.
No, for
all four.
$100 per.
$100 per.
$240 was the portion of the $960 that each business would pay.
So if we come to an agreement as a council tonight that $400 is the value for each individual unit, $100 each for $400 total, then that would apply to all four.
So what Council Law is saying is that in this case that one business operator is going to do food, so he would pay the $100. Okay. And let's say that 6 months from now, another vendor came in and said, I want to open up one next to it. Fine, you have to pay the $100 fee.
If it's a food.
If that's the number we agree on.
Okay, and what happens if, let's say, he's there like a year, and then after a year he moves out and another tenant comes in and he wants to sell clothes or whatever, then he doesn't.
Then he doesn't.
That's going to be,
he's probably
we
not
need to
draw
set
in.
A per business charge. I, that's going to get too confusing.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
That parking lot's being used right now, and there's no food vendor in there right now. There's three businesses in there, and they're still using that parking lot.
There's Well, there's a library in the Adams County.
Right.
The library in Adams County.
Not bothered.
It doesn't matter. And that's another thing that no, it's not. It's part of this issue because it's the fees that's being charged for that parking lot. The library is covered. That's a city building. Their parking's covered in there. The secondhand store is not a city building. They're using that lot 24/7. They have two vehicles parked in that lot 24 hours a day. They have their garbage container in that lot. So they're probably using it more than anybody there.
Well, there's an easement through there. I don't know where the easement stops and the parking lot starts.
It would be the alley.
Terry could, huh?
It would be the alley.
Okay.
My opinion is they're using city property. I think $400 is more than, I think $100 per business. And we need to find out about Satellite's Grill and Adams County, the secondhand store.
You want to take that on, Corey, that's fine.
Well, if we're going to charge them, why aren't we charging everybody who's using it?
Adams County, that's a nonprofit operation.
Okay.
And so is the library. So, I mean, if we want to charge a nonprofit, that's up to you guys. So if you guys want to charge Adams County, we can go to them and say, you know, sorry.
Well, are we going to be liable for their vehicles that's parked in that lot?
Good question.
See, it gets pretty touchy because Corey has a point. So here you go. You get a sandwich shop and it's busy. So everybody's parking alongside the curb because there's room there. And then you got the next business, you know, that's beside them that somebody shows up. They got nowhere to park because they're going to park across the street. But this guy's paying for this guy's fee when he shouldn't be. Follow me?
Yeah.
So it kind of gets a little touchy. It kind of gets, you know, to where you make a lot of sense, Corey. And you know, what you're calling a sandwich place and you know, this was providing food, which is okay, but we don't know what kind of business the mother, you know, what kind of traffic the mother stores or, you know, what kind of turnaround there. You know, we're having. So it's hard.
Here's the other thing, too, is how much time and effort is it going to take on behalf of the police department to police it?
Well, we've got Terry also. Terry actually spent a lot of time going over his maintenance costs on that parking lot. I don't know if he wants to talk about what it's costing.
So, I mean, if we start charging a fee, then we have to police it. So,
but
like Wade said, maybe we don't charge a fee. We just let whoever wants to park in there, park in there.
Well, see, and I talked to Wade this afternoon, too, about, you know,
what?
The possibility of some kind of, like, card machine where you get your receipt and you put it on the dash. But who's going to police that?
Exactly.
You're going to have to pay somebody to go check it once an hour.
Yeah. Please, Phil.
Okay. We went through this in my previous life. Before I was blessed and came here. The reason that parking meters are in like downtown areas isn't to make a profit. It's to keep the store owners and workers from parking in front of their businesses. So the only reason we would put in parking meters or something like that would be to make sure that this young lady doesn't park in front of her business. So in Sunnyside, we pulled out all our parking meters, but one of the things we did was we created a downtown free parking area with the understanding that the shopkeepers would park their cars there. But anybody could. There's no charge, no fee, and with that, no guarantee of that, you know, other than normal law enforcement and policing that we normally do. So, and I would suggest that as long as we don't put, there's other laws around like covered parks and stuff like that. Unless we cover it and make an indoor parking garage, we probably don't have any liability or much liability.
So, thanks, Chief. So then, as Council Wallace just pointed out, it's up to you guys. You can make no fee or charge a minimal fee, but then how do we police it? It becomes a very convoluted issue as we figure out who's supposed to park there, who's not. How do we police that? I guess my recommendation at the end of the day, after looking at this, thinking about it, my recommendation, if we want to keep business in town, but it's up to you all, is to have a no, don't charge, okay? Just let people park there. We need to park there.
I agree with Wade, and, but, you know, in the future, if it becomes an issue where there's not enough parking there, then we're going to have to look at doing something along these lines.
If God blesses you all.
Yes.
And you have.
And we hope they do.
As long as we can get away with all liability, we need to post a sign up there saying people are liable for their own stuff.
I
think we need to check into that and make sure that we have no liability or minimal. And then if we do, let's post signs.
And usually those go along with an ordinance or an RCW, don't they? With the signs, just saying that, that we're not liable for anything that's personal property.
Unless private property where you're seeing those waivers and you're parking here, you're on this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But generally for city, it's no different than parking on a city street in front of a business. We're policing it, but you can still get broken into. So I wouldn't say unless we're, you know, they're working, the businesses are all at night, we're providing no street lights. That's the kind of stuff I would be concerned.
And I don't think any of those businesses are open at night.
So that's the, you know, for the council today, whatever you guys decide.
So hopefully we won't have to address this in the future because people are complaining about not having parking.
Right.
So if you're starting complaints from your business owners about not having parking because the parking's filled up, and then just explain to them it won't do any good to, because it'll cost you if you want that.
Well, the thing is that the parking on the street is always taken because the people using Wi-Fi from the library.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and there's a Pokemon stop there too.
So that's about it. But yeah, so I come to town like 10, 11, and there's people parked right there in front of the business and in front of the library just because of that.
Right.
So
any other questions, comments?
So being that this is a workshop, do we have the prerogative to vote on this?
Yeah, you have a prerogative to vote. That's your prerogative. We try and...
Or we can just...
I don't want to table it again. I think that we've made a decision, a consensus.
There's Debbie...
I don't think we even have to make a decision.
We have to make it just a no decision.
It's
just
a no decision.
A consensus that we're going to leave it as is, and that's...
All right. Good enough.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We need to get a sign up there, though. We need to get a sign up.
All right.
That's what we need to do.
All right. Item 3.02, contract addendum number 2 with Adams County Pet Rescue. It's Heather.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. So it is once again time for our annual vaccination clinic. This will be our 4th year. To kind of recap, we started this just... We saw such high cases of parvo in our area, and of course vaccines cost money and we're low income here. So Pet Rescue and the vet clinic, we all started talking, how do we help our community with this? So we proposed this clinic, and we usually give over 200 vaccinations within 5 hours at this clinic now. So it's pretty amazing. People look forward to it every year because they know we're gonna do it and are always asking. So it'll be June 10th this year, 5 hours, as we've done in the past, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. With our contract with Adams County Pet Rescue, this is where we do our addendum each year so we can pay the doctor, and her fee is $425, which I believe is the same as last year. So I'm just here to ask for the motion to make that payment as we've done in the past.
Okay. Go ahead.
The reduced fees for the vaccination, is that for everybody, or is that is that on an income scale?
It's on an income scale. So if you're more than $45,000 a year, and we do the honesty system. You know, we don't make you provide your pay stub or anything like that. Rabies or distemper, you can get for $15, or if you can do the combo pack for $35. Which if any of you have gone to the vet, it's like 37 just for the parvo when you go in. So this is a huge savings even to people with a little bit higher income. 21 to 45, it's $10 for a shot or 15 for both. And then if you're under 20,000, it's $5 for one, or they just did $5 for both if they request it.
And then how much are the the reduced license fees?
We do the same as our January fee, $6 if fixed, altered, $10 if not.
During the clinic?
Just during the clinic, just for those 5 hours. We used to have people complain all the time, well, I just got my puppy in March, you know, so I couldn't get the reduced rate then. And so that was kind of our compromise, that to do something nice, if they're coming out to be responsible to get the shots, let's give them this little window opportunity to get the license cheaper too.
Okay, I was discussing this with Wade and Debbie this afternoon, and we have basically two options on this. Heather is not available to be here at the actual council meeting, so our options are to go ahead and consent to do a motion today, or we can place it on the consent agenda, get consensus today, and we can place it on the consent agenda for the next meeting, and it would just pass with the consent agenda.
So I just assume get it done today.
It's an existing contract. We've done it annually.
June 10th.
So all we need to do is make a motion to amend the contract with Adams County Pet Rescue.
I'd second that.
All those in favor?
Well, so I'm getting the consensus that we've got a majority that just want to go ahead and do it today. So now we have a motion and a second.
Yes.
So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And against? Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you.
And 3.03 on the agenda is the Finance Committee funding update with Spencer.
Yes. Thank you very much. The Finance Committee and I met. It was just last week to discuss a couple of the projects that we've been discussing lately, the tennis court and the airplane rehab, some of these things that have been coming up. And as a finance committee, we wanted to make sure that we were plugging these projects into specific funds so that the dollars in those funds were already being spoken for. And we didn't get into a situation where we were counting on a specific fund for two different projects, or one council member was counting on a fund for project A and another council member was counting on the same fund for project B. And so we thought, well, let's get some of these projects down and see if let's plug some of these projects into some of the funds. And it's, you know, it might be a little bit easier to see if zoom it in a little. We can't see the titles. I can talk through some of the titles. So
maybe
that's about as big as I can make it. but so there were a couple of different projects that we talked about, and we wanted you as council to see what we as the finance committee were thinking, and if you had any input, we just want to field the ideas out for the whole council. The first project here is the First Avenue Soda to Spruce. This is part three of the First Avenue project. We finished one part last year, where we had a grant for each of the three projects. Each of the three grants has a 10% matching portion. And for each one, it's been $80,000-$90,000 in there somewhere. So for part two, 26 to Soda, that was already built into the budget. That's already off the table, already the money's already set aside. For the part three of First Avenue, Soda to Spruce, our 10% of that is going to be about $96,000. And so normally a street project would be funded out of the street or the street reserve or the TBD. I built sections on your computers. It's probably a little bit easier to see. We were looking at different options. So for this, for the First Avenue, $96,000, there's the street option or the TBD option. Ultimately, the committee came to the conclusion that we want to save the TBD money, about $234,000, for resurfacing projects
in the residential areas.
We haven't decided on specific streets yet, but that money was set aside in the budget for
for those 10 projects.
You know, what our thought was that way the TBD money will be going to residential projects for resurfacing, so that the taxpayers can see that, yes, this money is going to improve your streets.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so then that would leave the street fund, and the street fund, we budgeted $165,000 here for street projects. We didn't have a specific project, so our thought was, well, we can take this $96,000 out of that amount right there. So that would mean about $70,000 still in the street fund. So that was the thought there. And we can talk through all these, and then we can come back and say, yeah, no. The second one here is the airplane rehab project. But we're partnering with Rotary, so the city portion will be about $18,000. There are a bunch of different options for the airplane rehab project. We always have the general fund, utility fund, tax fund, a parking rack reserve fund, real property reserve fund, and which is typically we put money in here for future park property purchase. And then real estate excise tax dollars there. And from our meeting, the suggestion came up, well, let's split up that $18,000. We could do $9,000 out of parking rent reserve and $9,000 out of REIT. The only thing with the REIT money, as you know, is a restricted pot of money. You can only be used for maybe about a dozen different things set in RCW. But the park structures, park related items, it's certainly in there. If we want to use the money, though, we would just include this in our capital facility plan. That's one of the stipulations, is the project has to be done. But that's easy enough to do. There are the tennis courts, $40,000 cost estimate overall. Split half and half between the school district and the city, and the committee thought, well, let's use the park and rec reserve fund for that $20,000 also. And there are other options, as you can see. And then a few of the other things that I just tacked on, just as FYIs, things that will need to work into the budget. The street light, the LED conversion, this is $105,000. This is 100% grant. This hasn't been worked into the budget yet, but when we do, it's going to be a revenue and an expense of the same amount. So it'll have a wash effect, and it'll be from the street fund because it's street related, but it won't affect any bottom ending balance. So, but that's just the FYI. So later down the road, when we do put together a budget amendment, you'll see that in there, and it's just a wash. There's this other clean water planning, this wastewater grant here. It's $375,000. Half of this is going to be a forgivable loan, which makes it essentially a grant. And the other half, about $180,000 of that will be a loan, 0.7% interest for 5 years. So that's a wastewater, sewer type project that we can work into the sewer fund. And then the very last one here, I don't have any numbers for this one because they're still kind of, they're just estimates right now and they're still kind of forming. There's been some discussion about a project down on Columbia Street and some other developers that are going to be involved in developing that. So we have other developers, it's kind of a partnership between the city and these other developers. And then that project would be split between the street water and the sewer funds. That's just to keep that in the back of your heads. But with these three projects up here, these were the finance committee suggestions. They're great suggestions. At this time, as council, if you want, you can say, yeah, let's move forward with that, and eventually we can work that into a budget amendment down the road. Or if you want to talk about it a little bit, we can do that too.
So just to be clear, your estimated fund balance, ending fund balance for the year of 2017 is that line item that you're giving, right there?
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah.
Okay, what's the minimum, what's the reserve fund?
I've already taken those off the table.
You want, you have?
He already worked those, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so going $30,000 into the $301,000 balance on Park and Rec isn't going to affect really.
That doesn't even get to the reserve.
Yeah, okay.
Minimum.
Sorry, I should have mentioned that to begin with.
These are the estimated ending balances for the end of 2017. When we're building the budget, these are the numbers that we were estimating that we'll end up with. And I already took out those.
Yeah, so that's the number on the last.
General,
the minimum fund balance.
So.
The general fund, the actual is $411,000.
I'm perfectly okay with the way the finance committee resolved the issue.
Okie doke.
Anybody?
Right.
Corey?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Good.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll include these things in those funds in future reports so it'll be easier to see what money we have and what funds, what dollars are available for other projects as they come down the pike through the year.
I had one question. Is this Columbia Street even in the picture at all? I mean, next 10 years or what?
No, it's going to happen this year.
Well, it is going to happen.
From 7th to 14th.
From down there to, from 7th to 14th?
Yes.
Not in front of the feed store or whatever that is down there?
No, it's not part of the picture. If you want to come out of the office tomorrow, I'll draw a picture for you and show you exactly.
From 7th on? Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And next
bicycle rack or what?
Item on our agenda is 3.04, the Nixle Alert System, and Chief of Police.
Thank you. Going back just a minute and talking about the pet animal control stuff that Heather was talking about, one of the things that we tried to do this year, and we'll make sure we roll it together, is we're coming back every year to talk about this $450 contribution that we make every year. We're going to build that into the agreement as just an amendment that, I mean, we pay up to $500 a year or something like that, and we just don't have to bring it back to council every year. So that's one thing. The other thing is, with the animal, the dog licensing and all that kind of stuff, we're working up some potential partnerships that we would bring to council to consider too, where and what our recommendation is going to look like. We just haven't worked out all the mechanism to make it happen yet. Is that Pet Rescue or the vets or Bells or they can sell dog licenses? There's no reason. What we're doing right now, as I look at this, is once a year. During this little window, dog licenses have to be done. And so our front desk is killing themselves to get dog licenses out. And it's not about money. So if we can, it's about reuniting lost pets with owners. And if we can find, and making sure we don't have the wrong kind of dogs around. So if we can find a way to streamline that, that's what we're working on and we're gonna bring to council with a proposal. So on Nick, any questions on that? Okay. Nixle, a few years ago when we had the water problem, we kind of realized that we had an issue or a lack of ability to communicate with our community urgent information. Adams County implemented a program called AlertSense, which is designed very well for emergency type communications. But as a police department, one of the things that we've done is looked for better ways to communicate with our community the good stuff we're doing. Facebook right now is probably one of our best communication tools. We put out a notice on Facebook. We generally, I mean, if it's the high alert kind of stuff where people really get interested, we'll have 40,000 to 50,000, 60,000 hits. Where people have looked at it, or and in some cases, hundreds of comments. But that's not good enough, and a lot of that's not completely within our community. So what we started looking at is at the same time was Nixle, but we wanted Adams County, their program, to get off the ground. It's off the ground, it's working, but it doesn't meet the needs of customization that we want to do. So Nixle is a program that Grant County uses, and I get Nixle alerts from Grant County quite often. Some of the agencies in Yakima County also use it. It's a very good program. The basic version is free. Now, what I'm looking at and actually implementing, and I wanted to bring it to council so you understand what we're doing, is the paid version, because it gives us a lot more tools. If, for example, in the lockdowns that we had 2 weeks ago is kind of the catalyst for this, we want to communicate better. And we want to control the message and make sure it's accurate. So with this program, what it allows is we would be able to log into the system, call, you know, text into the system, send out a message that will, that our community members will subscribe to, and I'll explain a little bit of that in more detail, but they'll subscribe to the, our Nixle feed, at which point one message that we type will go to their text, to their email. It'll be posted on our Facebook page. It would be posted on Twitter. It will, and it would be phoned to them if we want them to get a phone call and hear a message or have the computer read to them what we've typed into it. So, and that's, if you think about the folks that make up our community, we can't leave that portion out because not everybody has a smartphone, not everybody has email, and there's quite a few people that are anti-Facebook. So as we look at this spectrum of ways to communicate, Nixle fills a lot of those needs. Now, as I look at how we would implement it and roll it out, obviously school lockdowns are something that we can communicate. But what a lot of people don't realize in a school lockdown is it's not just the schools and the parents, you know, of the kids in that school that care. It's the surrounding businesses. It's the daycare centers that are scattered all through our community, and they're saying, why didn't I get a phone call? Well, what we don't have time in our dispatch center is to make 50 phone calls so that everybody, and that's just a start, a few people hear the message. We're getting a lot of phone calls from parents saying what's going on, as is the school district. So the issue is we're trying to control that communication and make that more effective. So if we're calling a lockdown, we're going to call the lockdown, but immediately we're going to send out a Nixle alert so that anybody that's subscribed to that and actually wants to receive Nixle alerts for lockdowns would get that specific information. Additionally, we would use this if we had a, people could sign up for community information. So we could say when we're having a water shortage, or we can say when the 4th of July parade is and what the hours and that kind of stuff. When baseball starts getting signed up, we'll be able to communicate that stuff out to our community because people would choose the non-emergency, you know, community feed and get that. Now, additionally, we have things like, we just talked dog licensing and I could put that out, but one of the things that I would do is in our community groups where we're trying to go out into the neighborhoods, get people engaged, I would be able to say, okay, everybody that wants to, pull out your cell phone. I want you to text 12345 and push and, you know, write 2. Now you're now signed up for Block Watch number 2 and now you're going to get all that information and it's that easy. So when we have a big community meeting at like a school, you know, if you want lockdown information, pull out your phones, type this, text it right now, you're all connected. Now, the other piece of this is what we're being told, and we haven't tested this, is with the phone dialing system, it has the capability of ringing 100,000 phones at the same time. Now, I'd kind of like to see if we can ring every phone in Othello at the same time, because I don't believe that's possible. But the capabilities are there. This would allow us to get a lot more communication out, where we want it, when we want it. We can do, for example, if we know we have an ammonia leak at one of the plants, we can say we want a quarter mile radius of this location. These people that live here and have subscribed to it are gonna get an alert. And the others don't need it. What Grant County does quite often is they'll say police activity in this neighborhood or on this street, you know, or there's a serious accident, avoid this area. We would be able to put that kind of information out. So there's a whole, we see a whole lot of benefit to our community on this. I have the budget for it this year. We didn't specifically budget for it, but we've been down four officers until next Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday. So we've got that money saved up. This is going to cost us $4,500 a year if we like it. The first year, this year, would be $5,000 because it includes $500 of setup fees. I think this is a good option. Wade and I were talking about this 2 years ago, wishing we had it. And we're in a position right now where we can actually implement it. So that's, we've started the ball rolling. I wanted to put that in front of council so you understand what we're doing. I'm not going to make that an impact on the 2018 budget unless we like it. And then at that point, it's your decision whether we continue it. Any questions?
I just want to say, I think it's great. Working in Ephrata, I have Nixle for Grant County. And I'll get messages from them sometimes. And it had changed the way I drive home. Yep. I'll take Dodson Road instead of 17 because there's a wreck. And I get, it's just like I got one this afternoon, and there was a shooting in Moses Lake. You know, so I didn't want to go in there that direction. I went a different direction, you know, and I agree 100% because that lockdown you're referring to the other day, it might help that I don't have my wife calling me what's going on, you know, hang on, babe, let me make a phone call.
Yep. And we would like to be able to communicate that out to y'all better.
Exactly.
I just can't make, you know, 8-9 phone calls with a gun in one hand and the cell phone in the other.
Yeah.
Not usually a good idea.
I agree 100%. That's why this, I see this as a very good thing.
It sounds like a fantastic program.
The other thing is I didn't mention is it puts immediate eyes on, too. So if we have a missing kid or we're looking for a suspect car, we can put it out. People are immediately looking for it. I didn't talk about the fact that it has an anonymous tip line. Where people can actually, you know, take a picture or, you know, make a phone call and send that information to us anonymously, which is really important because what people don't realize a lot of times is when you're talking to a police officer and he says, I want to remain anonymous, unless I don't know your name, it isn't anonymous. So a lot of these systems like this make it anonymous, and that allows a lot of people to call us on stuff that they normally wouldn't. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. 3.05 is the National Day of Prayer Proclamation. And whereas on April 17, 1952, the Congress of the United States approved the joint resolution to provide for setting aside an appropriate day as a National Day of Prayer. And whereas the National Day of Prayer has great significance for us all as a nation, and whereas at this important time in our history, we also pray for the brave members of our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and other first responders who have put themselves in harm's way to protect their fellow Americans. Now, therefore, I, Gina Doro, Mayor Pro Tem of Othello, do hereby proclaim Thursday, May 4th, 2017 as the National Day of Prayer in Othello. And I encourage all citizens of our community to join together in giving thanks for the many freedoms and blessings. And just as a side announcement, noon on Thursday, May 4th, by the flagpole, there will be a gathering in honor of this proclamation, a National Day of Prayer. And 3.06 is a proclamation for Municipal Clerks Week. Whereas the Office of Municipal Clerk, a time-honored and vital part of our local government, exists throughout the world, and is the oldest among public servants. And whereas the city clerk's office provides the professional link between citizens, the local governing bodies, and the agencies of the local government, and whereas municipal clerks have pledged to provide equal service to all, and whereas the municipal clerk serves as the information center on functions of local government and community, and whereas municipal clerks continue to strive to improve the administration of their office through participation in education programs and workshops and the annual meetings of their state and international professional organizations. Now, therefore, I, Gina Doro, do hereby recognize the week of May 7th through May 13th, 2017 as Municipal Clerks Week and extend appreciation to our clerk's office for the vital services they perform and their dedication to our community. That brings us to item four on our agenda is committee reports. Do we have any committee reports? And then item five on our agenda is unfinished business, and I believe we have some unfinished business.
I've got a couple of things. First, you all asked me to look into the Red Barn, what was going on there, so we did, and indeed they have stuff in there, and indeed they do not have a certificate of occupancy. So we've taken enforcement action. We issued them a letter last week that said they had until the 1st of June to bring it to compliance with everything required for a certificate or get their stuff moved out of there, or they would incur a fine. If I don't know what the fine was, but so much per day. So thanks for whoever noticed that. Please continue to do so. You see stuff, so I can check into it.
Well, they got a semi backed up there, and they get the doors open, so maybe they're moving their stuff out.
I don't know what they're doing, but keep an eye on it. If you see something else, let me know.
There's stuff in there all the way to the top.
Yeah, I saw that. I looked at it. Yep. So we'll keep an eye on it, and if you see anything else, let me know. Next thing was last week we talked about taking over Angel's irrigation rights, and Bob came up to me afterwards and said, well, irrigation and municipal industries are different, and so that got my juices flowing, and I've been trying to get a hold of Craig Simpson before that, but I've made more effort. And it turns out, as an Angel went back and looked at it too, he can't transfer those rights to us unless we buy the property. And so what we have to do, and this is a very short version, and what I'll try and do is get, I've got an email up to the gal who's in charge of M&I rights right now. When I get the full explanation, I'll come back to council and tell you, but we have to apply for M&I rights to do that, which we were going to do, but those rights and Angel's rights are totally different, pretty much what they told us, Angel. And so Angel went ahead and paid his fee, and he doesn't lose those for 3 years, so we've got some time if things are different. So apologize for not having this information beforehand, but I think we were all under the impression that he could transfer those to us, and I just thought we'd better check on it to make sure, and so we did.
Well, Travis was supposed to be on it
right
since September.
And we found
it was with M&I Water.
Right, with M&I Water, but not that piece not right there. Same, so yeah. I wanted to bring you guys up to date on that. We're not paying almost $6,000 for that. Angel paid that. So bear with me as I get some more information. We are going to proceed forward with getting those M&I rights so we can do the irrigation on Angel's property. And that's where we are right now.
If you need help, I've done them before.
Yeah. When you get a chance, stop by. We'll run through that, and I'm trying to get that information from.
Very easy. Yeah. I've got all the information on who to send it to.
Okay.
You start in the Freda, and then it goes to Colorado, and then it comes back.
Yeah, like Angel said, I thought we were already in that process, but I'm going to double check, and we'll start right now to do it. So.
But if it's M&I water, you're going to have to pay for
it's
the
more.
Water.
Yeah, we'll pay it right
you
now.
Pay for
sorry.
M&I water, whether you use it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
So, depending on how much water you think it would require for that development, you have an assessment fee. That's what you were talking about last week.
Yep.
Okay. You pay that. That's the assessment is for the irrigation district asset value that they have to contribute to maintain that opening for you to have availability. If you go with M&I water and you purchase 3,000 acre feet of M&I water a year for McCain Foods, and it comes at $49 an acre foot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want 500 acre feet, it's $49 times $500. Now you have to pay that every year.
One thing they told me...
Whether you're ready to use it or not, you have to buy it.
Well, they told me, again, this is, I don't have this in writing yet, but that we might could do it on a graduated scale. In other words, this first year we'd use 50 acre feet, next year 100 acre, in other words, if Angel develops, you know, we're not going to need the whole however many feet. And I've got the engineer working on that, those calculations right now. And we can do it in a graduated way. So, yeah, it's going to be expensive. At 49 a foot, we're going to need, we got 200 acre feet right now for what we're getting now. And we're paying $9,000, almost $10,000 for that. So I'll have some more facts to figure. When I get all the information, I'll come back to you guys.
Okay, we'll be able to talk to you about it.
Yeah. So.
For doing residential, you're not going to require as much as a farm would.
No, we're not.
Because it's 100 acres, right? And you're talking about 200 acre feet?
For the M&I, that's going to be completely up to the city, because the city's going to jump on board for the M&I.
Yeah.
As far as for the assessment, I have to pay the assessment. They had given me, when I dealt with Roberts over there, they gave me, you know, the runaround of if you lose your assessment, you're not going to be able to get irrigation water. You're not going to be able to get M&I water. So I was under that impression since my last deal, you know, and Travis was on us in September, and I never looked into it. So, you know, Wade called me, and he told me, you know, that I had to pay the assessment. So I called the irrigation district, and then I called Amy at the bureau.
Yeah, at Freda.
Yeah, at Freda, and she says, "No, Angel, you can, you know, let that go, and you can still get M&I water."
Yeah, that's about right.
So, as far as the fee goes, I got an appointment with them Wednesday to see if they can waive that since I'm not using it. So, see how it goes there.
Well, the assessment is for the infrastructure built by the district.
Exactly.
To turn the water to whoever.
Yeah.
And you pay for the right to have that asset maintained. That's what the assessment is.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions on that? All right. Again, I'll have more information for you as we go through this process. The last thing, this may be under new business actually, but I put in front of you as a thing, I was asked to look into business cards. They're about $30 per 500. We can only order them at 500 thing lot. So I'll probably last you for your lifetime. But if you want a card, then fill this out, get it back to me, and we'll get you a business card. That's it.
And item number 6 is new business. Does anybody have any new business? No? Then I'll close this meeting at 7:37.